community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Very good morning, Mikey.
How are you, Peter?
I'm feeling good, and the sunshine always makes you feel
fantastic
better.
To have some
It's the start
sunshine.
Of summer.
It is.
Next 4 or 5 days, wonderful. Great weekend lined up.
I was out there yesterday in my front garden, smashing me concrete down and whatever. Enjoying myself, I was. Ache all over today, though.
Yeah, but you feel good for it.
I do feel good
and
for it.
And it's lovely. Very, very, very nice. And actually, the weather was even kind for our runners in the London Marathon. It was
fantastic.
Chilly,
but
it didn't rain. That was the important thing. It wasn't pouring with rain. It was chilly, but for them, it was fine. A bit cold for the supporters and the fans along the route, but for the runners. I must start off with a very, very big thanks to all our runners. We had 48 people, running on behalf of the hospice in the Virgin Money London Marathon, raising an absolute huge amount of money for us. We haven't quite got the total yet, but we're talking about tens of thousands of pounds raised on the day.
That's fantastic.
Amazing effort. All of them finished. All of them did an amazing job. In fact, some of them did an amazing job even before the London Marathon because they were preparing, raising their money for their bid. And in that category, I must mention Team Baxter, Jack Baxter from Brentwood, running in memory of his father, Dave, and with a bunch of mates as well. And they organised this world record attempt on Shenfield Common a couple of weeks back.
Oh, how did they get on? The upside your head?
Smashed it. Absolutely
really?
Smashed it. The record was 258. I forget what the final figure was now. I should know because I wrote it down on our website, but I think it was 497 or something.
Wow.
Absolutely smashed through the record. Again, big thanks to everyone who turned up on Shenfield Common on the, I think it was 17th of April. That's right, the week before the marathon. Actually went through that record. Absolutely great. Some wonderful photographs of the day. A lot of people had a lot of fun. They even had one of those little drones up with a camera taking some pictures looking down. It looked amazing. So thank you so much to everyone who helped us, helped them raise a huge amount of money for us, St Francis Hospice. And so that's what it's all about, really. It's about raising money for our hospice. We are the local adult hospice for people in Brentwood and surrounding areas. We need an awful lot of money. That's why we need an awful lot of people to support us and help us.
Yeah.
We're talking about over £7 million that we have to raise every year. We're just into the beginning of our new financial year. The target, again, is over £7 million, but we're full of confidence we're going to reach it because last year we raised over £7.2 million. So we're confident we can do it again this year with an awful lot of support from all sorts of people in all sorts of ways. And when you have to raise that sort of money, you do have to have a whole different array of ways of raising the money. For some people, taking part in the London Marathon or Brentwood Half Marathon is absolutely wonderful, right up their street. For some people, I put myself into that category, couldn't think of anything worse and would never ever even attempt it or be able to do it. So that's not on the cards for the likes of me, but there are lots of other ways I can raise money. I can play our weekly lottery. I can just write the cheque or sign up by direct debit and send the money in each week. It all helps.
You should do a sponsored sandwich eating. I'd be up for that.
You'll be up for that, wouldn't
you? I'll be up for that one, yeah.
So there's lots and lots of ways, and we do thank everyone who helps us. Also, I mean, just by way of contrast, something slightly more sedate, but also very useful for us, was the fishing event held last week.
Oh, yes, yes.
Thanks to Robin Driscoll, presenter of your fishing podcast here at Phoenix. Got together with some mates and organised a fishing day last week. I know it went well. I know they raised a lot of money for us on the Essex Air Ambulance. So
fantastic.
Thank you to Robin and everyone who got involved in the fishing event at Puddle Duck Fisheries last week. Thank you again for that. Thank you for everyone who's organising a whole load of things I probably don't even know about. There's lots of small events, church fairs, school fairs. People do take on challenges. All sorts of things go on. Often we only find out when people ring us up and say, we've raised a bunch of money for you. We say, thank you very much. Would you like some publicity? Would you like us to promote that and tell everyone else about it? Sometimes they do, but it's just so many things are going on all the time.
Yeah.
And
it's lovely.
It's great, absolutely. And it needs to happen all the time because when you're faced with a challenge of raising over £7 million, you've got to spread your ways of raising that money. Don't put all your eggs in too few baskets. Got to have things throughout the year. Got to have a range of different things. And lots of ways that you can get everyone involved in supporting us if they wish to. From the very passive, like me with the lottery, people a bit more active might go and buy things in our shops. We've got two shops in Brentwood High Street. People might donate goods to those shops. In fact, we have a massive amount of stuff donated all the time of almost any sort, and we can take almost anything. And sometimes people don't appreciate that. They sometimes think, well, only if I've got a really good item of clothing will I take it into the shop. It doesn't matter. We take even old bras.
Yeah.
We can turn that into money. Mm. We can turn old stamps into money. We can turn certainly furniture into money. We have people who come and collect furniture. We do house clearances. There's just a huge number of ways in which everyone can help us in one way or another at some point. If you want to find out some more details, look on our website, sfh.org.uk. If you look under the shop section, you'll see all about where our shops are, what they sell, and also about donating goods. And we've even made that easier because we have a thing called drop spots these days. So if you can't get to the shop in, say, Brentwood High Street, then there's drop spots all around the place. Bennett's Funerals, Corcot Hall Farm, to name just a couple. Take those goods in as well. So there you might find it easy to pull in and park, unload your boot, get your all your, you know, whatever it is. Yeah, it could be DVDs, clothes, shoes, jackets. It could be pieces of small items of furniture. We even take electrical goods. The only thing really I can think of that we can't take is furniture that doesn't have the fire resistant labelling, correct fire labelling. But other than that, you know, it's tables, chairs, computers, even, you know, people like to buy retro stuff, stuff that you and I perhaps think, you know, has gone out with the arc. People like to buy old VCRs, the old big TV. I mean, all sorts of stuff people like to buy. If they're creating a 70s scene, an 80s scene, or they want that style or look, then do check out our shops and our furniture shop, particularly in Brentwood High Street. It's really nicely done. A lot of stuff arranged there, and you know, if needs be, we can even arrange delivery as well for a small charge as well.
Oh, so really?
It's very, very useful, and it raises a lot of money. I think I just looked at the figures last week for, because we just finished the financial year, as I mentioned. Yeah. And our shops collectively, including the two in Brentwood, and I think we have now 15 in total, those shops raised over £700,000 in profit last year for us. And that money goes to pay the nurses and doctors who do the work for the hospice. And again, sometimes people don't quite realise that as a hospice, we employ our own consultants, doctors, nurses, healthcare assistants, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, counsellors. All those people are employed by the hospice and supported by around 800 volunteers who do a lot of the other work as well for us. And all of that, obviously, you know, to run the operation has to be paid for. In total, it costs over £10 million a year to run it. We are fortunate. We get some money from the NHS. They fund around 27% of our costs. But that's, you know, that's great. We've got that. But that obviously still means there's a lot of money, over £7 million, that we've got to raise ourselves. And so, you know, we need to keep at it all the time. Our nurses do an amazing job. They make around 5,000 home visits a year. And again, sometimes people don't quite realise what the hospice entails. It's not just about what goes on in the physical buildings of the hospice, which is up in Havering Atterbow, beautiful little village, and set up in an old house there. And we've extended onto it. We've got an 18-bed inpatient unit. But these days, most of the work we do goes on in the community. So, you know, our nurses today are visiting people in Pilgrim's Hatch or in Brentwood or Romford. They're going out visiting people at home, looking after them. And that may be for many, many months in the final months or years of life. And in the final few weeks, they may be there round the clock through our hospice at home nurses team, who look after people literally who want to be cared for at home. And in some ways, that makes an awful lot of sense. A lot of people want to be in their comfortable surroundings with their family, loved ones, carer with them. But sometimes they need help to be able to do that. And that's where we step in terms of providing that expertise, that consultation, that help, that advice physically with people visiting them at home, but also providing equipment that allows people to stay at home. So we provide all sorts of things, special aids to mobility aids, wheelchairs, raised beds up, you know, commodes, all sorts of stuff, equipment that has been donated and we've acquired over the years that we can donate and deliver to people at home to help them manage to stay at home. We even send a volunteer driver to collect them, to bring them up to the hospice once every a week for our day therapy unit, if that's what they need, or they might need some specialist consultation or specialist treatment, pain management. All of that can go on, and they can stay at home where they may be most comfortable. So that's a very, very important thing for us. Now, we're into May.
It's going quick, isn't it?
It is. The year's whizzing by. Oh. Very important week for us next week. In fact, nationally, for hospices and anything to do with end of life. It's what's called Dying Matters Awareness Week. It starts on Monday. Right. It's a national event organised by a coalition of hospices, funeral directors, solicitors, anyone involved with end of life issues, health professionals from hospitals as well. And there's a lot of things going on. I would encourage people to have a look on our website. That's sfh.org.uk. UK. Look up Dying Matters. It's called Dying Matters Awareness Week. We've got a whole range of things going on, including some very locally here in Brentwood, thanks to our friends at Bennett's Funerals, who are particularly very supportive of us. For example, on Monday, on the 9th of May, there's a Living and Dying Matters seminar for health professionals being held at Bentley Crematorium in Pilgrim's Hatch. If you want more details on that, again, do check out our website or go and speak to the folks at Bennett's Funerals here in Brentwood. We're also hoping to have an event in the High Street in Brentwood next Wednesday by the Ruins. That's just waiting confirmation of that, but we're very hopeful we can have a stand there and some information out. Lots of information about all the things to do with why dying matters. And the theme this year of the event is called The Big Conversation. And the little strapline they got, which I think really sums it up in a nutshell, is talking about dying won't make it happen. In just the same way, talking about sex doesn't make you pregnant.
No, that's right.
Which is just as well.
It doesn't.
Which is just as well for a lot of people.
Hold it a minute.
There's a lot of talking going on.
What
we're saying is talking about dying doesn't make it happen. Now, there's a lot of taboos around dying and death, and often that puts people off from having any of those conversations. And as a hospice, we encounter some quite sad situations sometimes. For example, as part of the Dying Matters Awareness Week, the work that's prepared for that, they did some research last year into sort of attitudes towards death and dying in the UK. And they found that only 18% of British adults have asked a family member about their end-of-life wishes. It's like one of those things that just don't know. I don't know what dad wants or mum wants. You know, it's never brought up in conversation, never talked about. Only 35% of UK citizens have a will. That's just one element of, and what we're trying to do during the course of the week in all the different events we've got arranged, whether it's in Brentwood or elsewhere, is have these type of conversations. Sometimes people might feel not that comfortable about having a conversation, and we've got tips on how to have those difficult conversations. We've got a whole range of literature, from everything about five things to do before I die to having difficult conversations, dealing with bereavement for younger people, for children, the way you can plan ahead, because there's all sorts of things that you might need to think about. And certainly thinking about your funeral wishes is really important, because if you want to celebrate someone's life, difficult if you haven't got a clue what that person would have wanted, or even harder if you find that, because there's no conversations ever happened, different members of the family think completely different things.
It is one of those taboo subjects, though, and everyone's frightened to mention anything like that.
And that's why you get these very awkward situations that I've seen, and very stressful situations that arise, because people don't know. So you've got, well, you know, one brother and one sister completely at loggerheads over what dad would have wanted, because neither of them ever talked to each other or to dad about what dad would have wanted.
Yeah, that's right,
so they're trying to guess. And so what we try and do during Dying Matters Awareness Week is say, you know, these type of conversations don't have to wait until you or someone you know is very seriously ill or at end of life. Much better have those conversations when everyone is fully with it, knows what they want, and can say, well, yeah, if I was to die, this is what I would like. You know, I'd like to be buried. I'd like to have be cremated. I'd like it to be a celebration of my life. I'd like it to be informal. I'd like it to be happy, singing this. These are the type of songs I'd like. This is what I'd like people to wear, whatever it happens to be. This is what I'd like you to do afterwards.
Yeah.
Go and have a big party at the pub or whatever you want to do. But so that it's all clear what your views are, and other members of your family who are going to be involved in having to sort all that out don't have the stress of worrying at the time, right at the end of life, when, you know, maybe people can't write, they can't communicate easily, all sorts of things that you don't want to have that stress. You'd much rather have that calmness.
Yeah.
We've got a great lady who's one of our service users at the moment, patient, who's written all about this from her perspective. She's quite open about it. She knows she's an end of life patient. She's got months, weeks, we don't really know, to live, but she's had done all this planning, and she's happy to talk about what she's doing. She's going to go along to we're having what are called death cafes. There's a couple of these going on. We've got one in Ilford on Monday. We've got one going on at the Merrymead Centre in Brentwood on Thursday the 12th of May. It's at 9:30 in the morning at the Merrymead Centre. It's a final wish cafe, which means that people have these taboo subjects over a cup of tea and cake. Very gentle. You don't have to say a lot if you don't want to, but it gives you a chance perhaps to have conversations you'd never normally would, and maybe it'll give you the courage then to have that conversation with, say, someone else in your family. We would encourage people to go along to that, check out the information about Dying Matters Awareness Week, and not to feel uncomfortable about having these conversations. There's just so much that could be said and could be done to relieve stress, to make things easier, and to get everything in place You know, there's lots of financial implications often in these things. If you leave things undone, you might find that, you know, what you think is going to happen in, after you die doesn't happen at all, because it's not written down in your will. You've never discussed it with anyone else. And, you know, the professionals will tell you, you know, there is quite a lot to it. There's lots of things to think about, you know, leading up to that point. So, you know, we want to encourage people, have the conversations, the big conversation, talk about dying matters. And I said it doesn't make it happen or any more likely to happen just because you've talked about it any more than talking about sex makes you pregnant.
I'm still shocked about that. I am, honestly. I'm still shocked.
I don't think we should go there, Mikey.
I don't think we should either, to be honest with you. So have you got anything else coming up for later on in the year? Any biggies you're planning?
We've got one of our biggest fundraising events, and one of the most fun ones, is going on the 16th of July. It's our Star Walk. It's our ladies' night out. It's a pyjama party themed, as you may have heard from our
This is going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of ladies... Well, I use that term loosely. A lot of females taking part in the Star Walk. A night out with the girls, it's called this year. Pajama party themed. It's Saturday the 16th of July. It all starts warming up at 9 o'clock in the evening, just outside the Liberty Shopping Centre in Romford. In fact, we're going to be in the marketplace in Romford this year with the warm-up and the keep fit and everything else. And then the 10-kilometre sponsor walk starts at 10 o'clock in the evening. We've got, I think, well over 100 people already sign up for this, but we want many, many more. Get all the information on our website, sfh.org.uk. That's where you can sign up online. You can get all the information there. It's £12 per adult, but I think they're doing a discount at the moment. I think £10, I think, if you get in soon. That will go soon, and it'll go up to £12. Children can get involved. If they're sort of, you know, bear in mind, this is a 10 o'clock at night start. You know, if they're teenagers, that's fine. So that's sort of a group we're aimed at. Lots of information. If you want to get a bit more, you can also call 01 708 771 427. That's 01 708 771 427. You can see some pictures on our website on previous years. Literally hundreds and hundreds of women taking part, because it's that time of night. There's quite an atmosphere, let's put it that way. There's a few glasses of shandy and sherry have been drunk before the event starts, and
a couple of baby shams,
and some of the pubs are quite busy that night, and people are out cheering and supporting people and encouraging them to raise money. There's a lot of fancy dress, a lot of day glow, and this year there'll be a lot of PJs and pyjamas of all descriptions.
Onesies,
I'm sure,
everywhere.
Sadly, I think there probably will be some of them as well. So please do support us on that. In terms of other events, a bit of good news. I mean, we do. I think I mentioned this the last time I was in. We've got a charity golf day that Barry Hearn is very kindly organising for us. He does a lot to support us, Barry. He's one of our newest patrons, but he's been supporting us for a long, long time. We had half a charity golf day at Thorndon Park, but I heard yesterday that actually that one's been sold out on the 21st of June, so already gone. So if you want to have some rounds of golf with Barry and Steve Davis and other people like that, who are very great supporters of the hospice, then I'd again check out our website sfh.org.uk and sign up for our autumn golf day, which I think is taking place at the Abridge Golf Club, because the Thorndon Park one in June is already full up, fully sold out. So look for the autumn one in October at Abridge, and that could be right up your street. And as I said, there's just so many different things you can do. Do please support our shops, do donate goods. If you're thinking of having a house clearance, give our team a call. Again, you can get the information on our website, because we can come round. We might, if we can basically pick and choose what we want to take. We can even do it for free, but there's a very small charge. But again, even if you're paying to have the house cleared, you know the money's going to help people with life-limiting illnesses from the local area, and we hope we're helping so many people, but we need the money to be able to carry on doing that.
Well, Pete, fingers crossed you get loads and loads of money. We want you to get more than 7 million, to be honest.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Because that will help you for the following year.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Of course it will.
Every penny helps. Pete, we'll see you again the first Thursday of next month.
You will indeed.
Have a fantastic month, and I'll see you again soon.
Take care. Thanks.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.